And a very good Friday morning to you. The week is behind us. The weekend is about to begin. And I am very pleased to announce it is a huge victory for Donald Trump, Len. A gigantic victory for Donald Trump that he and Kim Jong-un are going to have a summit. And they're going to put these tensions to rest between North Korea and America. And Kim Jong-un has said he is willing to denuclearize his country. Len, I want to hear you say it. Nobel Peace Prize winner, Donald J. Trump.
Hey, good morning, Michael. What's up?
Good morning, Len. How are you?
I just want to, Joe Bartlett, who just did that sterling newscast. What was the very first line in your newscast, Joe?
It could be a big win.
You didn't say could. You did not say could. No, no, no.
I'm saying it
no
is.
No re-editing.
It is.
What did you say? What was your first line? I can play it back. You're going to screw with me.
Big. I guess I said a big win for President Trump.
You said a big win for President Trump. Not a big win for world peace. Not a big win for South Korea. Not a big win for North Korea and the people of America. No. None of the above. Big win for Donald Trump.
But Len, please. It was Donald Trump who went toe-to-toe with Kim, threatened him, you know, called him names, and said, we'll destroy you unless you cooperate.
Yep.
And Kim has blinked.
He put the screws into Kim.
It would not
terrify.
Have happened.
Absolutely, it didn't happen under Bush. It didn't happen under Obama. Obama's attitude was, "We're just going to ignore this tin pot dictator." And what happened by ignoring him? He got a nuclear program. And Trump said, "My button's bigger than yours, baby, and I'm going to blow you up." And that scared him. And now we're going to have talks. This is a Nixon goes to China moment, and I think it's exciting for the world, for world peace. South Korea's involved in all this, and you can't even acknowledge.
Len, come on,
you
just,
can't
come
even
on.
Acknowledge knowledge that sometimes a big stick is the best thing to have in diplomacy, Len.
Len
is silence.
Go back to Univision. You haven't been called.
Burp, burp, burp. You know what? I don't disagree with any of what you said.
Well, why you seem so reluctant to say it's a win?
I said, this came up yesterday, and I said that would be a win. Of course it would be a win. But that's not the headline.
Joe, it's because we're off message. We're not talking about Stormy Daniels this morning, is what Len wants to talk about all the time.
That's just not the headline. The headline is not big win for Donald Trump. The headline is possible peace talks, possible denuclearization of the peninsula. Those are the big headlines. Everything gets put in the win and loss column around here. That's not the headline. But yes, Donald Trump deserves credit for saying my button's bigger than your button. Yes, he deserves credit for that. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that's not the headline.
You are conceding more than a lot of the other lefties, Len. I was watching all those.
Why do you call me a lefty? I bat right. I throw right. Look at my baseball card. Why do you call me a lefty?
Because you watch CNN 24 hours a day. Did you see some of the old Obama people on CNN? The left is always saying, talks, not war, talks. All of a sudden, it's Trump who's going to have the talks. They're cross-eyed. Well, this might not
Can't
be such
him.
A good
yeah.
idea. He's duped us in the past. Nicholas Kristof, that lefty columnist in the New York Times, who is always calling for talks and not war. He's got a big column out there. I think this could be a bad idea, he says. Trump should not be going to a summit with Kim Jong-un.
Unbelievable.
You people on the right are always labeling the lefties, and you're a lefty, and those lefty columnists.
They openly admit they're lefty columnists.
Big win for Trump. Well, I'm surprised you didn't mention this is a loss for Obama.
It is a huge loss for Obama.
Yeah. There you go. What took you so long?
He couldn't get anywhere. All right, so we got the summit coming up. It's going to be exciting. Also, power outages still plaguing us. What do we have? JCP&L, 78,806. Con Ed, 13,811. PSE&G, LI, 4,247. You know, Len, the city officials, government officials like Governor Phil Murphy are really furious with the power companies.
I know they are.
Murphy really lashed out.
They've got downed trees or power lines, abandoned vehicles or malfunctioning traffic management equipment. State, county, and local crews are clearing the mess from this storm and will continue to do so.
And here's where he took on the utilities here, Michael.
And that is completely and wholly unacceptable. You can imagine how they're feeling. We know that Morris County, in particular, was hit hard by this storm. I think outages over 50,000 in Morris County alone at the height of the storm.
And remember yesterday, George Latimer, Westchester County executive, he was furious at the power companies too, going so far as to call for the heads of these power companies to resign. He was really upset. Yeah. And Cuomo too. So I think Latimer has a good point. He was saying yesterday that the heads of these companies are really not accountable to anybody. They, what, do they have some sort of tenure or jobs where
they...
Well,
some monopolies, you know.
Yeah. All like, you know, there's no competition among them, and he's really ticked off. So, well, we're going to get into some more of the power trouble today. We're going to go up to Yonkers with Alice Stockton-Rossini a little bit later. She's going to fill us in on what's going up in Westchester, which is still a mess. And rounding out the big three... some good news to be salvaged from that horrible tragedy, Len, this week in Park Slope, the woman who plowed into those two beautiful kids and killed them. The family of Ruthie Ann Miles, who is the Broadway star whose daughter Abigail was killed, they have tweeted out to say, thank you for your prayers over our families and holding us in our pain. We are extremely grateful for your kindness and generosity. And they say that Ruthie is now out of ICU and healing. And by all accounts, her child, she's seven months pregnant, is unharmed. So
that's great.
That's good
news.
That's
all good news. Good.
We don't know about Lauren Liu.
No, we should find out some more about her. Because
Lauren
Liu
is the other mother, whose son, Joshua Liu, was 1 year old, was also killed by Dorothy Bruns over there.
We've gotten some tweets and emails, and point well taken that obviously we've concentrated on Ruthie Ann Miles. I mean, and part of the reason is she won the Tony Award, and Michael Riedel actually met her, and there's a GoFundMe page for her, which is now at $402,000, Michael.
So I think they're going to split that money, too, with the with the Liu family.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be great.
And a lot of the Broadway people are aware of the other family, too. Just because she's never been in the spotlight doesn't mean that anyone can ignore her.
Excellent.
So that is the good news out of that terrible, terrible tragedy.
Oh, Danny on Long Island wants to say hello to us this morning, Michael. Hey, Danny, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Danny.
And welcome to the show, to the new man. I just wanted to be very...
The new man, that would be Michael Riedel. let's you know.
Good morning, Michael, and welcome. Be very easy on Len this morning. You have to realize in the last 24 hours, Walmart employees got $560 million in bonuses. There's videotapes of people all over the country dancing in as they got their paychecks. We had a tariff signed, which Chris Matthews went on the news and he said Trump is protecting these people that nobody cared about. People in the elites in New York don't get it. People in the Midwest are going to decide this country, and Trump is winning. And then, if that wasn't good enough, we're going to pop a cherry on the sundae and have his policy in Korea 100% work so far. And Len was... we were going to have war, Len. Remember that fire? Remember? He was 100% right. It's not very complicated. The same policy with a bully in the schoolyard. It's when you're doing foreign policy. You got a little maniac, you say, I'm tough. You're crazy. I'm crazier than you, and I'm tougher than you. And this guy blinked, and he's begging for mercy, and Trump's going to win, and he's going to be reelected in the land.
You know what? I think we should get rid of term limits. I think we should have Trump as president for life.
You can laugh all you want. The resistance is crumbling in front of your eyes.
All right. Goodbye, Danny.
Danny, that's it. Donald Trump, best president since Abraham Lincoln. Whoa.
No, the best of all time. And the healthiest.
All time.
And you know, I'm really getting tired of winning. It's just unbelievable. He was out. You know, why do you suppose that anything he does that is positive, I'm going to oppose? I don't. See, I'm not.
Because
see, that's what you people label all the time. It's always left, right, win, loss. That's not what this is about. He does some good things. He does some dumb things. So
politics, Len, is about winning and losing. That's what it's about.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. So what about helping out the people?
Well,
is that what you're elected for?
Trump is helping out the world by trying to do denuclearize North Korea.
I hope it works.
By the way, I wonder where they're going to have a summit, but it has to be determined where they're going to meet. Yeah. McDonald's and Passaic.
Well, I would assume the DMZ, but I don't know where they're going to. But you know what? I just hope.
They got to meet in South Korea, I would think.
All right, so you think the Rocket Man's going to go to South Korea?
Yeah, I think so. It's a gesture of goodwill.
Wow.
To meet in South Korea.
I would say the DMZ.
You think the DMZ?
Yeah, well, the one thing we can't have is Kim at the White House.
No.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. And you can't have Trump in North Korea, so.
No,
you can't.
So, but I just, you know, it's not all about winning and losing. It's about doing the right thing for people. And I also think that when someone does something positive or well. It's just that, how do you trust the Rocket Man? We're going to take phone calls on this later. Do we trust this guy? I mean, we've been down this path before.
But
what I do like is that Trump said, we're going to keep up all the sanctions. We're not going to, cave into you and say, okay, you're playing nice, so we're going to play nice. He says, no. Trump says all the sanctions are going to stay in place. That's the right call.
Len, why is it that when Obama makes a treaty with Iran, all the left is like, this is great. This is terrific. We should be able to trust Iran, even though we know Iran has violated those agreements. And now we're going to have a summit with Kim Jong-un and everyone's like, well, I can't trust him. We can trust the Iranians, but we can't trust North Korea. The reason is simple. Because Obama struck the deal with the Iranians, so that's a great deal. If Trump strikes a deal with the North Koreans, can't trust it. Got to be skeptical. Not so sure. It's because Trump is doing it that the left doubts it can happen.
I'm glad you
admit that.
I'm glad you renewed your subscription to the right wing handbook with your talking points. I mean, this is always going back to about Obama? Stop with Obama and Iran. And Iran isn't to be trusted. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't trust Iran, and I don't trust Little Rocket Man. Let's see if they come up with an agreement. By the way, the Obama thing wasn't one-on-one. There were seven nations that were involved in the Iranian thing. All you people on the right say, well, Obama made a deal with Iran. No, there were seven countries.
Well, the United States led it. I agree with you. Of course we can't trust North Korea. They have been duplicitous in the past. But if anybody can verify and put the fear of God in North Korea, it's going to be President, Nobel Prize winner Donald J. Trump.
The key word is verify. That's going to be the whole thing.
All right. We're still recovering from this week's snowstorm, and there could be another one on the way.
No.
WOR's Ray Stajic will have an extended forecast when we return. And now, traffic with Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6:24. Thank God it's Friday after the week we've had with the storm. This is March the 9th, 2018, but don't try that, telling that to all the people without power. I mean, JCP&L in New Jersey, 78,000 still out, PSE&G, 31,000, Long Island, 4,000, Con Edison, 13,000, New York, 11,000. I mean, it's almost 150,000. It's just
still out of power.
And I'm sure some of these people haven't had power from the storm last week.
And Angry Westchester County Executive George Latimer is going to have a press conference, I think, this morning. I bet he's going to hammer those power executives again, because he was really fired up about this.
So we're going to get to Ray Stajic in a second and see if there's more snow coming. He's our Weather Channel meteorologist here at WOR. But first, Michael, we were talking about Trump and Korea, but what got buried a little bit yesterday was the tariffs that he did put on steel and aluminum. Now, I did co-major in economics in college. I can't tell you if this is good or bad for anybody. I have no idea. So I'm going to leave it to you to tell me if this is another win to the president.
I was a history major with a minor in
theater
languages. Okay. No, I never studied theater, so don't ask me. But I am on the whole a free trader. I mean, the world is totally interconnected now, and I have some real reservations about a trade war. But Trump, I think, is already exempting Canada, Mexico.
Well, he says if he can strike deals with these countries, he's all about making deals. If he can get trade deals with these countries, then he'll leave them out.
This is how he works, Len, all right? He makes these big statements that rattles everybody. Oh, my God, we got to have a trade war. He can win the trade war. It's going to be a disaster. The man is insane. He must be impeached. It's terrible. He takes an extreme position, and then the negotiations begin.
Well, you know what Joe Bartlett says about this
tariff
thing.
He's nodding with me right now.
You know what Bartlett says about this tariff thing?
Could be a big win for President Trump.
Oh, you did say could.
See,
you were right, Joe.
Yeah, no,
I apologize.
But you agree with me, Joe, that I mean, this is what he does.
Absolutely.
He stakes out an extreme position. That's how the negotiations begin, and you come to the middle, and he does a deal.
The other thing too is this really could be bad for America, because we could lose a lot of jobs. It's going to raise the price of a lot of products.
Yeah.
If we get into this thing, but by saying that and by laying the groundwork, mm-hmm. he can negotiate a better deal. You're right, Michael.
This was I was amused by this yesterday. So he had some steel workers at the White House, and he brought one of them up to speak. And he was talking about his dad, who the steelworker, who was also a longtime steelworker. So here's the president and the steelworker.
Your father, Herman, is looking down. He's very proud of you right now.
He's still alive. He's
Oh, he is? Well, then he's even more proud of you. Then he's even more proud.
No, wait. He's alive. That, he's alive.
That Cracker Jack White House debriefing team on top of everything.
But you know there what? I related to that because I can't tell you how many times I've said something stupid like, you know, oh, you're pregnant, and she wasn't. Or
I
have done that.
You haven't.
I haven't done that in my past. You know, just saying, you think you're saying the right thing, and it turns out to be inappropriate. But I just thought, how is it music? Oh, your father must be looking down. No, he lives alive. He lives. No.
This is good news, Len. This is good news.
Right.
I love it when Trump does that. Remember the time he was in the rally and the baby's crying? Oh, don't worry about it. I love babies. The babies are great. The baby keeps crying. Get the baby out of here. Get the baby out of here.
You know what I say?
Could be a big win for President Trump.
Let's check out the weather with Ray Stajic at the Weather Channel. Hey, Ray, so what do we got? Is there something coming or not?
I think there is.
And okay, thanks, Ray. Have a nice day.
Well, so long, Ray.
Well, I had a different script here. I didn't think you were just going to come right out. And,
well, wait a second. You have script?
You didn't think Len was going to come right out?
No, time out.
No. I was going to say, well, I was going to just go with after 2 a.m. Monday morning, 1 to 3, and it ends by Monday night. Because usually Len comes in hot. He's just like, how much, when, and when's it going to be over?
How many inches?
He just said, what'd you say? So after 2 a.m. Monday, what do you got?
After 2 a.m. Monday, 1 to 3, and it ends Monday night, early Tuesday.
Wow.
Probably going to be some mixing. That's the forecast.
Well, that annoys me. That's my commute after 2 a.m. Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be another. True. If it does.
It's all about you, Len.
It does look like, yeah.
This is Monday into Tuesday?
Probably Monday morning. Yeah. Into Monday evening.
But it's just going to be...
Oh, wait. Oh, so 2 a.m. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
So Monday morning.
So it's after Sunday night.
Right. Set your clock ahead.
Which, by the way, set your clock ahead. We haven't been telling people
about that.
Yeah.
Right. Spring ahead. Which is just great
for morning radio because we don't get enough sleep as it is. So we're going to get an hour less sleep this weekend. This is just...
Isn't that great, too? Cranky on a Monday morning with 1 hour less sleep and maybe a snowstorm.
Ray, tell me about it. This is my first week on the job here. I've spent 30 years covering Broadway. That means we go to bed at 2 in the morning. And get up at noon. Now I'm going to bed at noon, getting up at 2 in the morning.
Oh, this is all about you now?
Yeah, how's that going for you?
So what else? What are the other weather headlines, or are you done?
That's about it.
Really?
Well, yeah.
It's colder than it should be right now, isn't it?
We're a little below average, especially west and north with fresh snowpack. Below average by, let's see, here in New York City, should be 33. It's 32, 31. So,
it's not bad.
Hey, Ray,
not
terrible. Give us some hope. Is there a glimmer of spring out there?
Let's see. Hang on. I got to go looking.
Looking for a script again.
Here's the date, Ray.
Hold on. Here's this piece of paper.
May 29th. Circle March 29th, opening day at Citi Field. We want you to get back to us with the March 29th forecast for Mets opening day.
All right. I'll get you that on the 28th.
of April.
But I have to ask Ray.
Yes.
It's Natalie. Hey. People were talking about a third nor'easter for Monday. Yeah. What happened? Wait, just now it's 1 to 3? They get that one away? Is it gone? Is it really
gone? No, it's
gone?
Not gone.
See?
It's not gone.
See, now, it's not gone.
No. It's not gone. This is the Weather Channel forecast, which blends all the models that come together. And then we do we got like 200-something meteorologists here. So we're all looking at this data and we're saying this is the best forecast based on the guidance we have now. Most of the guidance is actually south and east. However, the GFS is still the outlier. The America model is a little closer to the coast, so we figure there's probably going to be, at least at this point, a little bit of snow. The question is going to be, does it go a little further west and we get
all
more?
Right. Hedge. Yeah, I don't know. We'll get back to you. Thanks. We got to run, Ray.
Yes,
thanks,
go,
Ray.
Go.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
1 to 3 early Monday. Yeah.
And he uses a script. That's the big reveal this morning.
And peace in North Korea all at the same time. Here's Joe Bartlett with the news headline, 6:31.
My measuring stick for weather forecasts, anytime they tell you what it is 4 days ahead, it's absolutely not that. So it's not going to be 1 to 3.
As opposed to your newscast.
With all due respect.
Which, by the way, Joe.
Yes.
Just one more thing.
Could be a big win for President Trump.
Is that your first line here?
I'm going to reserve that to the end of the newscast because I have an addendum.
And the big win goes to.
He has an addendum. Big win for La La Land.
why are you negative?
I'm not negative.
You are.
Oh, jeez. Do I have to explain myself again?
No, I think I'm begging you, don't.
No, forget it. I got other news to do.
Don't.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's mad as heck More than 100,000 people in his state still don't have power, and he says the utilities have to be held accountable.
We made it very clear to them that job number one is to restore power, but also our deep frustration, frankly, it turned from frustration to anger on my part, at the uneven preparedness and the uneven response.
Absolutely. He's ordering an investigation into utilities. The same sort of thing may happen in New York as well. Chilling 911 calls have been released from that school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Several students called for help as well, along with neighbors who live near the school. Listen to this.
911, what is your emergency?
I think I hear gunshots.
What is the address where you heard it at, sir?
I don't know. I'm at in Parkland Isles. It sounds like it's over towards the high school, over towards Douglas.
All right, that's one 911 call. There was also a police radio transmission from the security guard, Scott Peterson, who said he reported gunshots in Building 1200. Earlier, he said he thought the shots were, well, his explanation for not going in was that he thought the shots were coming from outside the building. Okay, now let's get to that big breakthrough on North Korea. North Korea apparently ready to give up its nuclear program. Could be a big win for President Trump, Len. Trump and Kim Jong-un expected to meet sometime in May.
Do you think he's giving up his nuclear arsenal?
I think, really? I think he wants to stay alive. I think he's seen what the U.S. did to Saddam and to Gaddafi.
So he's going just going to destroy all his nukes.
Well, I think he'll
freeze them
dormant, make it dormant and not go any further. But anyway, this was a big story out of Washington, and guess what? No one apparently told Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
I know.
Really? He spoke a few hours before the announcement, and this is what he had to say.
In terms of direct talks with the United States, and you asked negotiations, and we're a long ways from negotiations.
Okay, we
were about May. Well, May's a long
ways. There we go.
Imagine that.
Old Rex is out of the loop.
Are you saying that Donald just acts on his own? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, a lot, and people like you will say, chaos in the White House. But
I'm wondering when you get to the Stormy Daniels story. Is that on your
list? That's not on my list. But anyway, chaos in the White House. The problem is, I think Trump knows what he wants to do. No one else knows what he wants to do.
That's right.
So he'll do it.
Does he know what he wants to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He does.
Yeah.
Keeps everybody on their toes.
Yeah,
but old Rex, if I were Rex.
He's done. I mean,
Wait a second. He's going to quit too?
If you know the major diplomatic achievement of your administration and you don't bother to clue in your Secretary of State, I think Rex's days are numbered.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's the case. Hey, I wonder what, if they have a dinner together, what is Kim Jong-un going to serve at the dinner? His relatives.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
He puts him in cages, and the dogs eat him. And what the
heck? Oh, boy.
This is my cousin. He's very tasty.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Joe. The family of a Tony-winning actress who was injured in that deadly Park Slope car accident is speaking out. Finally, we have a word from the family. Plus, Mayor de Blasio is going on tour. We come back. Is he sing and dance? What does he do? Yeah. He's going on tour.
He's taking his Hugh Jackman act on the road.
But first, Bernie Vider has our traffic.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday to you. I hope you have a fun weekend lined up. This is Michael Riedel here with Len Berman. Len, you got some fun planned this weekend?
Yeah, we have activity, you know, social stuff, family, friends. Yeah. Not seeing any Broadway shows because you didn't get me any tickets.
I managed to get Natalie and Bartlett tickets to the band's visit, a show I really love. Just let me know what you want to see.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, your friend Hugh Jackman went to a matinee.
Yes, he went
the paper.
He went to Once on This Island, a terrific musical that I saw the original production of in 1991. Love the show. And I haven't seen this production yet, but I got rave reviews. And Hugh was there, Brave the Storm. And went to see a Broadway show.
Well, that's what it said. The paper made a big deal out of Hugh Jackman braving the storm to go to a Broadway. Natalie, our producer, braved the storm and went to a matinee. I didn't see that on page six.
Well, I mean, page six material.
I was going to say, I love Natalie, but, you know, she's not exactly bold-faced Hugh Jackman showing up at the theater.
Right. Well, I'm trying to support her.
Can you imagine when Hugh walks into the theater, everybody, I think, just gasps with joy because they love to see old Hugh.
That would be amazing. I actually always look around to see if there's someone interesting in the seats, because every once in a while you're like, oh, look who's there. Look,
I know. Well,
there.
And Natalie, often I'm there.
Well, haven't seen that yet.
I didn't know, tell you the story when I saw the Billy Crystal show.
Oh, yeah, that was
Sundays,
great show.
Whatever,
yeah,
number
700 Sundays.
100 Sundays.
Great show.
Two rows behind me, Oprah Winfrey walks in with Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, that's a good
sighting. Now that's cool.
That's a good sighting, Len.
I mean, I've seen Savannah Guthrie, but that's no Oprah. And
well, once I sat behind Donald J. Trump at the opening of Saturday Night Fever on Broadway, and as soon as the curtain went up, his head went down and he slept through the whole first act.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I was able to study the hair, which was interesting.
My wife went to a matinee of Hamilton a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and sitting across the aisle.
Wait a minute. How many times has she seen? Is this three?
Three, yeah.
Boy, how do you get those tickets?
What?
She's good at that. She goes online or whatever, and she gets them, and she gets tickets.
Wow. Know.
So who was there? Thomas Jefferson?
No, better. Two of the three hosts of Fox and Friends.
Ooh, I don't know about that. So. Hey, speaking of Broadway, I just want to bring you up to speed on Ruthie Ann Miles. She was one of the mothers whose her daughter, Abigail, was run down this past week. The other mother, Lauren Liu, her son, Joshua Liu, 1 year old, also killed in Park Slope. The family of Ruthie Ann Miles, who won a Tony Award for The King and I, they have sent out some messages, some tweets to tell us that Ruthie is now out of ICU and healing. And by all accounts, it is a miracle that their second child is unharmed because she's 7 months pregnant. And the kid is going to be fine, Len. So that's good news.
Let me read the tweet because it comes from the family. It says, thank you for your prayers over our families and holding us in our pain, in holding us in our pain. That's how they phrased it. We are extremely grateful for your kindness and generosity. Ruthie is now out of ICU and healing. By all accounts, it's a miracle, and our second child is unharmed. That's a miracle, too. 7 months she's pregnant. Please continue to pray for the Liu and Blumenstein families. That's her married name, Ruthie Ann Miles.
Yep.
As Blumenstein, as we process the unthinkable and lay our grief in the loving arms of Jesus, Joshua and Abigail are now resting in heavenly peace and joy. And, you know, they set up a GoFundMe page for Ruthie Ann Miles. They had a goal of $5,000. As of this moment, it's $402,690.
And I think they're going to share that with the Liu family. That's what I'm hearing, too. So that is the good news. All right. Hey, is the mayor in New York City? I'm not sure.
Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road.
I take it to mean he's on the road, huh?
He's going on a road trip. Yeah. He's going to go on one of those progressive tours as he's ginning up interest in what I'm sure is going to be his White House run. He's jetting off today.
Give me
a
break.
Friday. Really? Yeah, he's going to Austin, Texas, where all the lefties live, for this South by Southwest festival. It's one of these weird techie granola things.
Why do you label things all the time? I never talk about a righty convention. Why do you always have to go, you're lefties?
Because that's what South by Southwest is. You think de Blasio's going to go to some, you know, CPAC convention? I don't think so, Len. He's going to a left-wing confab down there in Austin, Texas, to yak on about his progressive agenda, leaving behind all kinds of problems here in New York. And you know what this is going to cost us for his trip? He's also going to speak in Baltimore at some lefty.
We're paying for this?
Estimated at, according to the Post, $8,000 for expenses and covering the mayor and his three staff members, says the Post.
That doesn't sound like a lot of money.
Well, I think we could spend it better than sending him off to talk to a bunch of commies.
Yeah, but back up. You think he's going to make a White House run? That's delusional.
I think absolutely.
He's delusional.
He's delusional.
He can get a White House run together and get support for him around the country. I think that's bizarre.
He thinks he's going to ride that wave of what he detects out there of left-wing progressivism, and it's going to take him to the White House. And
where's that wave exactly?
Ignoring this city. It's out there. It's out there. So I think I detect it out there. We'll see how the midterm elections come up. But this guy is not interested in the city anymore. He's not interested in the city.
You wanted to mention something about the town hall meeting.
Oh, yeah, and he had a town hall meeting with Charlene, his wife, and the kid. It was about gun violence and whatnot, and the kids were asking questions. And if they didn't ask her a question about mental health, that's because she's an expert on that, de Blasio was like, we're not going to answer that question yet. Ask her a question about mental health. The guy, like many of these mayors who won those big landslide elections, he's becoming a despot.
Do you think he's trying to put his wife in power?
I think so. Well, he's going away. He's going on his King of the Road lefty tour, so she's going to be running things while she's away. Huh? So, hey, a legendary Jet is speaking out about the dangers of playing football, and why is a baseball team learning all about porn?
I want to hear this one. Oh, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected. Listen anywhere with the free, I said free, iHeartRadio app. Your favorite radio stations, plus unlimited streaming music available now in the iHeart app and at iHeartRadio.com.
And now let's go to Bernie Viter with traffic.
At 6:54, welcome back on a Friday. I hope you have power where you are. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Upwards of 150,000 in the area. We'll be dealing with that throughout the morning. In fact, we have Alice Stockton Rossini up in the Yonkers area. They were hard hit as well as many areas were.
And the government officials are really angry at these power companies.
They really are. So when you saw a headline at the about the Royals and porn, what'd you think there, Riedel?
I thought, is there a Prince Harry, Meghan Markle tape? That's what I thought.
No, that's what I thought.
I saw the headline, Royals and Porn. I thought, oh, this is like one of those, what, Pamela Anderson tapes, but it's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Don't you say that about my royals.
Oh, she's a big royal.
Natalie, you're an American, okay? This country was founded because we broke away from the English monarchy.
All my friends,
and I gotta say, mainly my female friends, are obsessed with the British royal family.
I always have
these
been.
Inbred dolts.
You're absolutely right.
You sound like
my
mother.
There's nothing that you're saying that is not
Bunch
true.
Bunch of inbred.
Did you know that Meghan Markle just got baptized the other day?
She did.
She's now part of the Church of England.
The Anglican Church of that. Oh, great.
Anyway, that was my royal
news. That means
news.
She can be buried in Westminster Abbey, yes. As they should do with the whole monarchy.
Now you're burying her? She's not even married yet. Now you're killing her?
She's in a porn tape. What do you want? Royals in a porn tape.
By the way, do you not like the show The Crown? On Netflix?
I do like The Crown.
But it's a nice show.
But I like The Crown, though, because what it's really about, it's about power. And I love stuff about power.
That's what's interesting. Queen Elizabeth in a sympathetic light.
And I'm watching Victoria right now, which is a masterpiece. Very good.
Is that good?
Really like it.
I like
Oliver Cromwell. He's the one who wanted to behead them all.
All right, let me tell you about that. I just saw The Darkest Hour, speaking of Britain. I just finally got around to watching it.
Well, that's strong. That's good, yeah.
Yeah,
Winston
strong.
Churchill.
Yeah. Kansas City Royals. These are not the Royal Royals. These are the Kansas City Royals. And for their minor league players, they held a seminar.
Yeah.
And part of the seminar taught them about the evils of pornography. Mm. Did you know pornography is evil?
I know it's addictive.
Well, it says here, this is a quote from the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, a gentleman by the name of Dayton Moore, not Clayton Moore. You know who that was? A Lone Ranger.
Oh.
That's who played the Lone Ranger, Clayton Moore.
Oh, right. Of course. Who played Tonto? I've forgotten now. Stump Len this morning. It's Stump Len.
Oh, I knew the name, too. Jeez.
I.O. Right. Silver.
Google that, Natalie, will you please? So the general manager of the Royals says, we talk about pornography and the effects of what that does to the minds of players and the distractions and how that leads to abuse, of domestic abuse, to abuse of women. Wasn't it Jay Silverheels?
Jay Silverheels it
is. Yeah!
Good bingo. Job, Tonto!
I'm reading the quote and I'm thinking of my...
Jay Silverheels.
I can multitask. I'm thinking of my brain.
I am impressed, Len.
Jay Silverheels.
Someone your age, you are on top of things. I love it.
Man. Natalie, he's picked on me. He calls me a lefty and an old guy.
A lefty.
That's not nice.
You're an old lefty.
Let's see.
You're a red diaper baby, then.
Warren Spahn. I don't know.
Yeah, I always find these porn things, though, a little suspicious. Sometimes I think they're kind of an excuse to look at more porn. So, oh, porn is terrible, terrible. Look at all these things on the internet.
Know.
And you got to kind of look at them to talk about them.
Let's see how terrible it is. Let me see some more how terrible it is.
That's exactly right. And why the Kansas City Royals? Why?
I don't know. Who knows? Speaking of sports, legendary New York Jet Mark Gastineau was on the Sports Zone last night with Pete McCarthy, and he is a sad story indeed. He was on with his wife, Joanne, and he is diagnosed with Parkinson's and dementia and one of many football players who have struggled.
I used to hit so hard. Those helmets, I used to break helmets. You cannot tell me that that doesn't have an effect. A cumulative effect, you know, on a person.
Well, that's heartbreaking.
It's a tough, tough, compelling interview. If you want to listen to the whole thing, go to 710WOR.com and look for the Sports Zone page. But Mark Gasol, he was quite a player.
Hit so hard that his helmet's cracked.
Yeah.
I hope they make better helmets now.
Well, that's a real issue. And yes, they probably do, but I don't think the helmets still are what they should be.
Now, Len, when you were playing football, they wore the leather helmets, right?
I did not play football.
When you were watching
those
football.
Those are terrible, crazy. Michael.
You had the leather helmets. Natalie, isn't that what they had?
What's
the
with this
helmets?
Guy?
I don't know.
Are Broadway Park people this snarky?
Yes.
Man.
Or nasty old critics, Len.
How about they want sports betting in New York, and the NBA says, sure, we want a 1% cut. Well, we'll talk about hypocrites. All these sports leagues who didn't want any betting, now they have two of the leagues have teams in Las Vegas. Now the NBA says, oh, we'll accept those sports betting if you give us our cut.
They're cashing in.
Yeah,
they're cashing in. I mean, sports betting is a multi-billion dollar business, and they want their cut.
By the way, the evils of gambling, I could tell you, are far worse than the evils of pornography.
I think you're right about that.
People and lives and families.
Families ruined.
Absolutely.
You gamble away the kids' college tuition.
Westchester County has been described as a war zone, you know, after this week's snowstorm. Actually, two storms that have affected them. WOR's Alice Stockton-Rosini is getting a firsthand look at the damage in Yonkers. We'll go to her coming up after the news with Joe Bartlett. It's 7 o'clock.
Your new voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone. It's 7:05. Here we go. It's Friday. Michael Riedel, how you doing over there?
I am fine, Len. Good morning. It's been fun working with you this week. It's flown
by. So that's it?
That's it, and I'm out. So long. You're on your own after that.
By the way, I just want you and Bartlett to know, I am so tired of losing. I'm getting tired of losing. Did you see the sports report?
Yeah, they're all losing.
The Rangers lost. The Devils lost. The Islanders lost. St. John's lost. Seton Hall lost. The Mets lost. The Yankees lost. The only team that won was the Nets. By the way, talk about sports.
Every New York team is losing?
Talk about, well, in this town, when's the last championship? Are we going back to the, Giants, obviously. But
don't look at
before
me.
Before that, you got the 2009 Yankees, but that's the right, Giants man. Won a championship in there.
But, the 2000, right?
For who?
Giants?
No. They were the Giants have won two. Remember, they won Super Bowl 42 and 46, and we just had Super Bowl 51. So the Giants would have won 5 years ago.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now we know it's right.
But there was a time. I mean, you know, I came to do sports in New York in 1979.
Right.
The Islanders won the first of four championships that year. And then you had the Mets in 86. And then you had the Yankee championship run. The Giants have won a couple of Super Bowls.
Yep.
And the Devils have won Stanley Cups.
That's right.
And what's going on? And the Rangers won in 94. Now it's
not that I know much about baseball, but my favorite player back in those days, and I did watch it when I was a kid, I loved Reggie Jackson. I thought he was great. He was true. I mean, charismatic.
He was theatrical, that's why, right?
He was a pain in the butt to cover.
What was he? The straw that stirs the drink.
That was a Sporting News interview where they were talking about Thurman Munson as the leader of the team, and he comes on board and he jabs at the Munson. Consequently, they hated each other. But I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
But it was so important, though, because, you know, New York was in the dumps then. It was. Broke. The city was dangerous. And
Ford,
you know,
to New York, dropped dead.
And Reggie Jackson leads the Yankees to a big win. There's a great book, The Bronx is Burning. Have you read that book?
No, that's but I know the book.
Sensational book.
Yeah.
Sensational book.
But Reggie was
Yankees.
Such a pain in the ass to cover.
Really?
It was like a bipolar almost. You know, the one minute he'd throw his arm around you and give you the greatest interview in the world, and the next day he'd pretend he didn't know who you were.
Really?
But that was just Reggie. And they would say, that's Reggie being Reggie. You know, that's like
who was the manager then? That
Billy Martin.
Billy Martin, another one.
You talk about a holy trinity. It was Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner, and Reggie Jackson all fighting for headlines. It was unbelievable
and
times.
And that really, really, the success of the Yankees then lifted the city out of the real doldrums and depression it was in. Good times.
Those are the times. And then the Mets took over. The National League took over. People don't remember that this was a National League town with the Mets in 86. Anyway, our big three stories. Of course, the major news, the president will meet with Kim Jong-un maybe by May, and they will talk nukes. So obviously, huge, big story, which...
it's a big win. It's a big win.
They're in the cap.
It's a big story and a big win, Len.
Not yet,
President Trump.
No, don't start. Don't pop the champagne just yet. But this is a feather in the cap of President Trump.
Oh my God!
Let's be measured.
He concedes.
No, I'm not conceding anything. Oh, stop it. You guys are insufferable. Also in the big three, the cleanup continues. Still thousands, well over 100,000, close to 150,000 in our area without power. It's unbelievable. Some of them haven't had power now for a full week because
we had a call.
First nor'easter went through last
Friday. We had a caller the other day who told us he's been out of power for 7 days, for a week. I was only out of power during Hurricane Sandy, I think, for 4 days, but this seems to be worse, the power outage.
I was out for about a week in Sandy. And rounding out the big three, we do have a message from the family of Ruthie Ann Miles, the pregnant Tony-winning actress who was run down in Park Slope. Her daughter and her friend's son were tragically killed, and they say she's out of ICU. The baby's doing fine, so, you know, thank
we've
God for small favors.
And we've got to find out about the other mother, Lauren Liu. She lost her one-year-old son. But here's a bit of their tweet. Please continue to pray for the Liu and the Blumenstein families as we process the unthinkable and lay our grief in the loving arms of Jesus. Joshua and Abigail are now resting in heavenly peace and joy.
And as we hit this Friday, a reminder, you may not may have sneaked up on you, but set those clocks ahead tomorrow night.
Right.
We're going at daylight saving time.
That means what, we lose?
Ahead. Spring ahead, fall back. Right. Where have you been? Where'd you grow? You went to Columbia.
I've never been able to figure this. So am I
spring
losing
spring ahead,
I know,
fall
I know,
back.
But does that so, mean hard I'm so that means I'm going to lose an hour of sleep,
you
right?
betcha.
Really?
Which in morning radio, every minute counts.
You know it.
So
you
we're going to show up Monday morning. Good morning, everybody.
Happy Monday.
So I thought one of the great sound bites of all time was on yesterday's show. We had Alice Stockton Rossini was out in the middle of a mayhem with it, and she found a livery driver stuck in the snow. She's interviewing this livery driver, and it turns out that there's a passenger in the back seat. No one knew.
Trying to get to work.
Right. And so that, as we point, I started to call Alice Natalie. Alice was doing the interview, and Alice finds out there's a passenger in the back seat.
Oh, hi.
Didn't see you there, sorry.
Oh, hi. The back seat stuck in a
Can
snowbank.
You get out of the car? I'm doing an interview here with the driver.
Is she classic?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi, Alice and Yonkers. Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi.
Alice is psyched. She loves to ride. Now, I saw some images on the news, and I was trying to figure out with Natalie. I was watching Channel 2. We were trying to figure out if the images from Westchester were from the second storm or the first storm. I'm telling you, the lines down, the trees, it did look like a war zone. Now, what have you found up there?
Okay, I'm in Yonkers. Yonkers doesn't look bad at all. In fact, major meltdown here. Hardly anything left on the roads. But the idea was to be at the train station to talk to people coming in from the suburbs. And there aren't, as of this moment, I found a lot of people who had power. I found a lot of people that had no problems. But I certainly did find Louise, whose family had some problems.
Do you have power?
Yes, I have power. But my sister and my father, who don't live far, went a few days without having power, without being able to shower. You know, all these things when you don't have them, it's hard to get through the day and really, really do what you're supposed to do because you don't have the essentials.
Well, that's
now,
true.
You know, everybody's talking about, you know, heads should roll at the power companies. The president should resign. There should be a complete shakeup. Louise is on board with that.
You know, I agree with him that a change needs to be done. The people deserve that. I think that it would tell the people that are in that position right now that that's not okay. And a sign to make an example of this is not okay and we're going to do better by the community.
Hey, Alice.
Now,
I think George Lattimore really struck a chord with his call for the power heads to resign.
Here you go.
We're all tired of these excuses. There are human beings out there. We're giving statistics instead of real-world services.
This is George Lattimore. He's the county executive of Westchester County.
We're going to call together the elected officials of these communities. We're going to call for resignations of senior management. I've listened to enough. We put up with enough. If this were the way all world works, if I was in charge, I'd be voted out of office every second or fourth year.
This guy is terrific, I think. Big George Lattimore.
Well, okay, but consider this.
Yeah.
Listen, Rob is from New England.
It's the winter. Things happen. You just have to plan for that. You know, looking for someone's head because parts of the community lost power just seems silly. It's winter. It was a nor'easter. I think people need to have reasonable expectations around what the power company, what the city can do in circumstances like these. And I think they did a great job. I didn't lose power, thankfully. I feel badly for people who did. I suspect they are probably somewhat frustrated that the situation continues to linger. However, it is what it is.
Rob sounds like a blizzard Buddha. He's got a Zen-like state.
He is. Well, he's from New England, okay? And so he's got a little different perspective. And, you know, he went on to say that, you know, calling for people's heads is kind of a cop-out. You know, is that really, again, looking at the crux of the problem? Which I'm going to go out on a limb and say crumbling infrastructure might have had something to do with, you know, the ability of the power companies to keep up with the outages.
Well, I saw the damage in some of the towns in Westchester. I mean, it was just awful with the trees and the power lines. And I know you can call for heads. Now, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to somehow safeguard all these trees and power lines so this stuff doesn't happen. I mean, it was mayhem, Michael and Alice. I'm telling you, it was just unbelievable video.
But you
it
know,
massive.
But we heard, you know, from Joe too, Bartlett the other day that, you know, his wife was trying to call the power company, couldn't get through. She was on hold indefinitely, and then they clicked her off. I don't think that is the way it should work.
Well, they had some problems.
No, I don't either. But, you know, complete shakeup, heads got a roll, senior management, you know. I don't know. How long will it take to rebuild the management, come up with a new plan? What is the problem? Why do they not have enough people staffing the phone lines? Is the infrastructure just in such bad shape that, you know, that's what they need to focus on? Is getting, you know, I don't know, raising taxes, getting more money, upgrading the infrastructure?
All those things. All those things. But Latimer's rattling the cages, as he should be doing, I think.
Right. That's his job. So there you have it, kids.
All right, Alice.
Oh, bye.
That was good.
Hi.
That was.
Wait,
let me one more time.
Oh, hi.
Alice, oh, bye.
Oh,
she's
bye.
She hung up
she's
on
gone.
Us.
She's out
we'll talk
it.
To her later. How about you, Natalie? You were out of power last time we spoke. What's doing in your neck of the woods in northern New Jersey, Morris County?
Well, after 18 hours, we did get our power back, so that was a fantastic moment. But the roads are insane.
Really?
The snow piles are so high. You know when they reach a height where you can't see around the corners?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you keep
yeah.
inching through and inching through. So that's always
when
a
scary
thing.
When they're as high as the street lamps.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's they have piled them so high up. And there are trees everywhere. There are branches and limbs. Mm. There are trees just on my block. Two trees lying on the power lines.
Didn't
where
a tree-
the power lines are sagging and you're wondering,
wow.
Okay, when is it going? Because so last night I said to everyone, let's cook fast, everybody shower, because I have a well, so if I don't have power, I don't have water.
You have a well?
I do.
What are you, Anna Green Gables?
I know.
And school, no school or what?
We have one with no school, one with a delayed opening, and one with a full day.
Wow.
Oh,
three
different
school districts in her family.
Didn't you have a, wasn't there a car on your street or a tree branch?
Yes, sitting right in front of my house, there's a smashed car.
Crazy time. Man. All right. Has President Trump achieved peace with Rocket Man?
Yes.
Well, ABC White House correspondent Jonathan Carl will be with us next to talk about North Korea's plans. Will they give up their nukes? It's all coming up next. But first, Bernie Vider has traffic.
Good morning, everyone. I hope the power is back on where you are, but we got some New Jersey transit trouble. Trains between New York and Penn suspended in both directions and things being rerouted through Hoboken.
Yeah, between Newark, Penn, and New York, Penn. And, you know, it's just...
Here's news. This would be news. No trouble.
I know.
A New Jersey transit.
So
that would be news.
They were saying that Bernie Vider tweeted out that there was a problem on New Jersey transit. And I said, you know, maybe the news would be when there's no problem on New Jersey transit. Tweet that one out.
That's never going to happen. You know that. So, hey, let us go down to Washington, D.C. to talk to John Carl, ABC News Chief, White House correspondent guru. He knows everything that's going on down there. But, John, I got to ask you, you must have been taken a little off guard by the announcement of a summit between North Korea and the United States. That seemed to shock everybody in Washington yesterday.
Well, absolutely. But to pick up on your New Jersey transit theme, I guess the story would be if we could tweet out no chaos at the Trump White House. Calm day.
Right.
White House.
Well, it was crazy yesterday. No, I mean, you had the...
No crazy surprises at the Trump White House.
But you had the tariff thing. You had what got totally buried was the meeting with the game people who make the violent video games.
Yeah.
No one's talking about that. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, why
town.
Were they? This is the big news.
Big,
so John, tell us what it was like when you heard this news. I mean, the White House press corps must have been stunned.
Well, first of all, you know, what happened is the president ducked his head into the briefing room. Now, you have to understand, that might not seem like a big deal on most days. This is the first time that he has ever been in the White House briefing room, with the possible exception of late at night when there's no reporters around. Now, we don't know. Does he come in and check it out? I don't know. But while we are here, while the briefing room is open, he has never stepped foot in the briefing room. So he ducked his head out about 5 o'clock and said, "We got a, you know, South Korea is going to make a big announcement in at 7. You know, this is going to be a big deal. You guys got to watch it." I ran into the briefing room when I heard he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
He had already ducked his head back out. So I said, "What the heck's going on?" So all the reporters are gathering around trying to figure out what the, and originally he said off the record, but you can't be off the record in the briefing room. And then there was I walked out to go up to ask Sarah Sanders about it. And as I was walking, just me, through the West Wing up towards the press secretary's office, I look to my left down that colonnade and I see the president with Pence just standing there. And I look over, he motions to me to come over to him, and he's about as good a mood as I have seen him in a long time. Mm. He starts saying to me, "You know, the South Korean, this is going to be a big thing. You need to be there. You should be there." And my first thought is, okay, so the South Koreans are making an announcement. What, do I have to go to Seoul? I mean, where am I going to go? I mean, what is this all about?
Go on Travelocity.
So I asked him if it was about, you know, negotiations with the North. And he said, "It's almost beyond that. It's almost beyond that. And I hope you give me credit. Hope you give me credit."
Wow.
I stood there talking to him for several minutes. The vice president was with him, didn't say anything, and he even started reminiscing about the campaign. It was like this chatty, like just hanging out. All this big announcement. We didn't know exactly what it was, and then it was directly Kim Jong-un. We found that out, you know, about at that point, about an hour and a half later.
See, if that were me, John, if that were me, I'd say, where's my camera? Where's my tape? You know, I'd be dying to record this thing. You had a one-on-one with these two guys.
I know. But the thing is, I'm there. I'm alone. If I go back out, and, you know, this is not an area where you have cameras, what could I do? Could I break out my cell phone? Instead, I just figured I would try to get some information out of the guy. But it just a surreal moment, and the kind of thing you just can't imagine. And this decision, it certainly shocked all of us. But you have to understand, this shocked the South Koreans, because they came with an update on the talks, including, by the way, Kim Jong-un says he'd like to meet with you, and then the president suddenly says, "You know what? Let's do it."
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody expected. I mean, I've covered this nuclear issue now. This is the third president, because I covered it under Bush, covering the State Department. I covered it under Obama, and the idea that there would be direct talks between the heads of state of North Korea and the United States is just mind-boggling. If it were ever to happen under those other presidents, it would have been preceded with months and months and months of negotiations, pre-meetings, other officials.
I mean,
but the idea that the president just said, "Hey, I'll do it."
John, isn't this why Trump supporters elected him? So he was going to break the model?
I think you're exactly, yes, no doubt. And think about it this way. You know, those other administrations, and I didn't cover it under Clinton, but it also, this all started under Clinton. You had some of the most experienced foreign policy hands, brilliant experts, high stature, you know, your Colin Powells, your Condi Rices, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Dennis McDonough. These are people serious, and they went through. And what did they do? I mean, it's been an absolute failure.
Nothing.
North Korea now has more powerful missile system, more powerful nuclear capability by far than they've ever had, and they're defying the world. Now, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, but we know that the experts didn't get anything done.
Hey, Jonathan, let me ask you, how are the Democrats responding to this?
Not much yet. I think that'll be very interesting to watch. Are they going to come out and say this is an erratic president? How dare he meet? I mean, do you remember during the primary campaign in 2008 when Obama said that he might be open to meeting with Ahmadinejad in Iran?
Yeah.
And Hillary jumped all over him and said, you know, that's irresponsible. How could you meet with, I mean, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Wacky man.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see.
All right, Jonathan Carl, ABC
News. Hey, Jonathan, that's just great that the president calls you over. Hey, come on over, Jonathan. That's very cool.
And I love it. Jonathan, you still sound stunned and shocked. All right, Jonathan Carl, ABC News, Chief Washington and Chief White House correspondent. Thanks a lot. And now let's go to the news with Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Michael. Len, this is for you.
Here we go.
How significant is this meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
It's 10. A 12, baby.
Oh, I agree.
You said 10?
10.
Even CNN and MSNBC.
Oh, even CNN.
Are praising it. Listen to this.
Wait, MSNBC too?
Yes. Yo. CNN used words like remarkable, stunning, and significant.
Wow.
CNN.
I can't imagine what Fox News did.
Trump was praised for
New Year's Eve and Christmas all rolled into one. Yaha! Trump,
Breaking news on Fox. Nobel Peace Prize awarded to President Donald J. Trump.
Trump praised for lowering the temperature. And it was said by CNN, the Maximum Pressure Campaign worked. MSNBC.
Yes.
A remarkable evening.
Oh, it's a little understated.
So was the night I saw Phantom.
How about this one, though, Len?
Yes, Len.
MSNBC called it a big deal.
It is a big deal. Why? You know what? Why are you even quoting these networks? I don't care what they have to. We know it's a big deal.
That's where you get your message.
Stop. You know, the two of you were starting to annoy me. Both of you.
Well,
I used to like Bartlett.
I signed a 3-year contract, so I get used to it.
All right. Westchester County Executive George Latimer continues to call for the resignation of utility executives. Tens of thousands remain without power in the Hudson Valley, some of them since the previous nor'easter.
Those folks have to understand the pain and suffering is so great that they can't sit back and say, well, I don't have to be accountable legally until the PSC has a hearing in Albany sometime in the next 2 months. I have to be accountable now, right now.
I love Latimer.
Yeah, I didn't hear Astorino pounding the table when he was.
Latimer is my favorite Democrat. He's my favorite Democrat. We got to have him on more. He's terrific.
He sent a letter to local and state lawmakers asking them to join in his call for those resignations. Now, there's also criticism of the governor from people in Westchester County. They say, hey, wait a minute. You know, he visited Puerto Rico to help with their power outage. Where was he? We haven't seen him around Westchester. Now, Cuomo says he is putting pressure on Con Ed, and he doesn't have to visit the scene in order to have
impact. I heard that. That sounded kind of weaselly on the governor's part. I mean, that wasn't a bad question. If you travel up Puerto Rico all those times, why don't you drop by Westchester? Because if you saw the pictures of Joe, I don't know if you saw the pictures on Channel 2 last night in Westchester.
I did.
It was unbelievable what's going on there.
I don't have to look far to see this stuff.
You got to New Jersey.
You live at all right. Hey, can the Donald trust the Rocket Man? We want to hear from you. Give us a call here. 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. And now let's go to Bernie Viter with traffic.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Welcome back, everyone, on a Friday at 7:40 in the morning. Len Berman and Michael Riedel on Friday, March the 9th, 2018. We want to know if you feel that we can trust Rocket Man if there are negotiations between the president and Kim Jong-un. 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. And is this a big win for the president?
This is a major diplomatic breakthrough, Len, and you are not giving it the props that it deserves.
Let's see where it goes. That's all. No, I think I'm giving it the props. I think this is a good thing.
We were talking to Jonathan Carl from ABC News in the last segment, and he still sounds stunned.
Well, sure.
Still sounds stunned about this news.
And it is stunning. So let's see if the meeting comes off and if we can verify and everything works out hunky-dory, and then we'll give him the Nobel Peace Prize, okay? A couple of transportation notes and storm-related notes. First of all, New Jersey Transit back in business between Newark Penn and New York Penn, but now they're experiencing 60-minute delays. So it had been stopped completely. Now they're back with delays. Got an email from Michael in Rockland County. He's in Orangetown. He says he lost power the first storm. Took him 4 days to restore.
Wow.
Next storm hits, still without power. And he says trees in the exact same spot fell. So his question is, why don't you take all that money being spent on cleaning the trees, putting the lines back up, and then take all that money and bury the lines underground? So I don't know. I don't know if it's, I don't know if that's a possible, wash but, or not. But
we shall see.
All right, we've got a lot of people want to weigh in. Let's start with Michael on the island. Michael, you're first up with Lennon. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. First of all, I have to tell you, I admittedly suffer from Trump derangement syndrome.
Okay.
So that's where I'm coming from. However, anytime you open up the line of communications, it's got to be a good thing. So that's it. But however, I do enter this with some degree of skepticism, because even John Carl said it. What did Trump say? I hope you give me credit. And that means that he's right to be taken advantage of from a guy like Kim Jong-un. So I hope he has proper advisors there. But any time you open up the lines of communication, it's only positive.
I don't know, Michael, if his top advisors are going to be there, because apparently his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, wasn't in the loop on this one.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you want to go to Joe on line two. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. Personally, this little rocket man cannot be trusted one bit, but that is understood going into these negotiations. Now, the meaning of insanity is to, you know, do the same action over and over again, expecting different results.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, as a Trump supporter, that is the reason why I pulled the lever for Mr. Donald J. Trump. He's unconventional. We're reaping the benefits of that unconventional strategy. Okay, we see it all across all political subjects. Trump is taking a different direction. Like, if you look at the tariffs is, I'm going to throw something so ridiculous out there that people will meet me in the middle. I get what I want, and we get results. So at this point, if Little Rocket Man thinks he's going to sit down and pull the wool over Trump's eyes, he's got something coming to him. And ultimately, think of the photo op. Donald Trump cowering over this little man, okay? That, if you look at it, will be extreme pressure, because not only will the Chinese look at that as weakness on the Koreans' part, giving us more leverage with the Chinese, and hopefully, we'll finalize this by denuclearization and ultimately a more peaceful world. So,
thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. You know, that photo op, two of the more interesting haircuts on the international
exactly.
Scene. How about Susan in East Meadow? Hey, Sue, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good morning, Susan.
Yes. The North Korean thing was planned out a long time ago. Iran is next, trust me on this. And there's 18,000 federal sealed indictments, if you can check on Pacer.com. Senator McCain resigned yesterday. Not a coincidence, more like a Q incident. And if you want to get some good reading in, go to hashtag QAnon on Twitter. Thank you very much.
I don't know what she's talking about. McCain resigned, huh? Yeah. That's news to him.
Yeah, how the pads in your room there, Susan?
Oh, no. Ooh, that was tough. Boy, these Broadway critics are vicious.
Okay,
pads in a room?
John, let's go to John on line four.
Good morning. That's a tough act to follow, guys.
I know, John. You got any scoops for us?
She's drawing cartoons with a purple crayon between her legs.
Did Adam Schiff have transgender surgery? I mean, do you have some scoop for us?
John McCain resigned. Who knew?
The only scoop I got is some Rocky Road ice cream.
There you go. I like Rocky Road, too. All right. What do you think, John?
Listen, I got to tell you, I think Trump's not a dope. I think his crippling sanctions work. And don't forget, the sector may have given Trump, after debriefing by CIA, may have given him some information that's really got Rocket Man scared.
All right.
Yeah. Could well be.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, pal. How about Paul in Wayne, New Jersey? Hey, Paul. How's the weather there? Did you guys get buried, too?
We're digging out of, I got 24 inches, so
unbelievable.
I'm finally dug out and
ready
to go.
Michael, that's just a few miles across the bridge.
Unbelievable. We got zilch here in Manhattan. You got 24 inches? Unbelievable, Paul.
Yeah. Right. What do you think of this deal, Paul?
I think CNN and MSNBC, when they enter into how deranged he is, I think that's something that Rocket Man can understand and fear. Don't you?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if they criticize Trump, then makes Trump unstable, and Rocket Man's worried about that.
Yeah.
Well, I think unstable in the same way, right? I mean,
I understand what you're
saying. Go in there and give him the money for nuclear weapons, like Carter. I mean, Clinton did. He's not going to do what Obama did with Ayatollah. He's not going to throw money at him.
So you like this deal?
Well,
he's like Reagan with Sarah Dawn.
We don't have a deal yet, Len.
No, I know, but he likes the idea. When I say deal, I mean the idea of them getting together.
And Kim Jong-un is going to get something, probably lifting sanctions, and probably, I would suspect, get some money thrown his way so he can feed his country for the first time.
All right, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. Coming up, a groundbreaking TV show is coming back in some form. We'll tell you all about that, but not the way you remember it. And will President Obama be the next big TV star? Entertainment news coming your way when we return.
Our 2018 iHeart Music Awards are finally here, Len. This Sunday night, the Forum in Los Angeles becomes a who's who of celebrities and artists on stage and in the audience. So find out who you pick to win and watch the biggest artists perform. We've got Ed Sheeran, Bon Jovi, Maroon 5, and Charlie Puth.
Oh, you left one out there.
Camila Cabello.
Yes! All right.
Love that. Camila Cabello. Cabello. And Charlie.
You say Cabello, Poof. I say Cabello.
Yeah. All right. Anything can happen at the iHeart Music Awards. Watch on TBS, TNT, and True TV this Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Traffic, Bernie Vider.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Let's hope you've got power back on where you are.
Oh, boy.
Let's hope you the commute gets straightened out here so you don't have too much trouble getting home on New Jersey Transit. They fixed some of it. There were some problems there.
Yeah, hour delay. But, you know, and the guy, Paul from Wayne, he had 24 inches. It's just amazing. A couple of miles.
Nothing. No inches here.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Let's go. Anyway, JCP&L, 78,800 outages. That's the biggest one in the area. PSE&G, another 31,000. So over 100,000 in New Jersey alone, still without power.
Absolutely. So, all right, Len.
Sure.
The greatest TV show of all time, in your estimation, would be
Sergeant Bilko.
I gotta say Columbo, but
that was a great series.
Fantastic. The Sopranos with the great and much-missed James Gandolfini. Well, good news. This is an exclusive from a friend of mine, Mike Fleming, over at Deadline. David Chase, creator of The Sopranos, is finally ready to return to the New Jersey turf with a prequel to The Sopranos. It is called The Many Saints of Newark. It's a working title for this prequel that is set in the era of the Newark riots in the 60s, when, according to Mike Fleming, African Americans and Italians in Newark were at each other's throats. So it looks like it's going to be exciting prequel to The Sopranos.
Well, but without Gandolfini, though. I mean, I guess they will bring back some of the... I guess they could bring back some of the...
You know, I met Gandolfini a couple times.
Yeah?
He was on a TV show I hosted about Broadway for a long time, and he was on Broadway in a play called The God of Carnage. And he came on the show with the rest of the cast, and you know, being a TV guy, Len, when you finish the interview, you got to do those cutaways where, you know, the person has to nod and say, cutaways and all. And the rest of the cast was game, you know, could you nod? Could you nod, Mr. Daniels? Could you nod this and there and that? And Gandolfini's just sitting there.
He's not nodding.
He's getting redder and redder.
Oh,
and then we get to him. We say, Mr. Gandolfini, could you give us a nod? And he said, I'm not doing this bleep. And he ripped the microphone off, stood up, and flew out of the studio. Everybody was terrified. They thought, my God, he really is Tony Soprano. And then he came back in and he said, I'm sorry, everybody. I just can't do that bleep.
Yeah, no, I respect him for that.
Yeah,
some of that's just nonsense.
It's totally.
And sometimes the producer will just overdo it, nod.
Exactly.
It doesn't look natural.
Yeah, he just doesn't look natural. He was not having any.
So he was right.
Anyway, so that prequel is going to be exciting. It's called The Many Saints of Newark. It's been acquired by New Line. Not sure where it's going to be yet, but The Sopranos.
Movie, right?
It's going to be a movie. Yeah. The Sopranos are back, Len.
How about, speaking of new shows, are you excited about the Obamas? Supposedly they have a deal with Netflix. They don't know the format. What would the format be?
I'm falling asleep.
The Obamas, Joe Bartlett, get excited. The Obamas coming to Netflix.
It's going to be
soon.
As exciting as The Sopranos.
Wow. Wow. You got to be kidding, Len.
I don't know. It says
let me set my DVR.
Let me set my VCR.
Let me guess. So it's going to be something that is Oprah Winfrey-like, inspirational.
You're going to talk about climate change.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to take shots at Trump. I doubt it.
But. People close to negotiations said the program would not be a direct rebuttal of President Trump's agenda or Obama's other conservative critics. They've always believed, here's a senior advisor to the former president told the Times, that the president and Mrs. Obama have always believed in the power of storytelling to inspire. God.
Storytelling. I'm falling asleep. My eyes are glazing over. It is going to be one big bore. And finally, hey, back on February 13th, The View panel, Joy Behar, criticized Vice President Pence's
Listen to this.
I don't know if I want
it's
that.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
That's different.
Mental illness, if I'm not correct. Hearing voices.
Joy Behar called that mental illness if Jesus talks to you.
Foot and mouth disease, Joy Behar. Well, apparently Bob Iger, the head of Disney, which owns ABC, of course, has apologized to shareholders at a meeting for Joy Behar's insensitive comments, not only to the vice president, but to Christians around the country. So there you are, Joy Behar.
And one other little entertainment. No, remember The Bachelor? Remember he proposed to one
dumped
lady?
Dumped the girl on the show.
Well, he dumped the girl. Well, he dumped the girl that was from Minnesota. So a state representative in Minnesota has written a bill that would ban this guy from coming to Minnesota. So there's some solid legislation right there. That's going to hold up at the Supreme Court.
I bet no question about
the
that.
The state of Minnesota hereby adopts a policy of zero tolerance of Ari Lyrendike Jr. from season 22 of The Bachelor.
Don't anyone want any guys like that in our state.
It is the state policy that every person in the state has the right to live free from the presence of Ari Lyrendike Jr.
That's the most ridiculous bill I have ever heard. So anyway, there's been a major breakthrough with North Korea and the president's plan to help American companies. Is it going to work? It's coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
Your new